So let's go ahead and begin. Open your Bibles to the book of Psalm number 46. Psalm number 46 in the scriptures. And immediately we find three divine headings, three phrases that introduce the psalm. And they are inspired headings, just like we learned in book number one of the book of Psalms. These are part of verse number one. And we find three things. The Bible says here, Psalm 46, verse 1, to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. And so these three introductions give us a historical background to the psalm so that we know what the psalm is referring to. Well, the chief musician, we acknowledge, we know that predominantly that's Asaph. It could also be Jeduthun. It could be He-Man. Jeduthun is also Ethan, same guy, different name. But 1 Chronicles 5:12, we won't take time to turn there, but David appointed the chief musicians. And Asaph is predominantly the one recognized in the book of Psalms because he's written more psalms than He-Man and Ethan. However, that's to the chief musician. So David gave these words and composition to ensure that when the children of Israel worshiped Jehovah God, that they would use the words of this Psalm 46. And these are wonderful words of life. Wonderful words of life. Now, notice it says for the sons of Korah. Now, we covered the sons of Korah, but it'll be a good thing to review the sons of Korah today. But I'll wait till we get to verse number 2 and 3, actually, and finish the first section of this psalm and bring in the sons of Korah, because it'll make sense historically. What happened to Korah? What happened to the sons of Korah? Well, I'll just hang on for a little bit there. But so there's the chief musician, there's the sons of Korah. Now here we have a pretty unique musical title. It says here, a song upon Alamoth. Alamoth only shows up twice in the Bible. One is in 1 Chronicles 15:20. The other time is right here in Psalm 46. So Alamoth is a musical or instrumental title, and it relates to young ladies or maidens. So yung mga kabataan na babae ang pinag-uusapan ng Alamoth. At yung boses sa choir ng mga ladies, lalo na yung mga young ladies, ang tendency ng boses nila ay mataas, soprano. All right, so Alamoth has to do with a song for sopranos. Usually maidens, young ladies, have a higher voice, and in a choir, that would be the soprano section. So this is a very high-pitched praise, a very soaring music that brings us to focus on God, on the Lord of hosts, the God of Jacob. Very, very powerful psalm. An appropriate psalm for days of war, for days of calamity, for days of trouble, for days of peril and fear. You ever experience those days? Are you going through those days? Are you going through a storm? Well, if you're going through a storm, Psalm 46 is a psalm that brings great comfort, as only this psalm could do, inspired by God through the sweet psalmist of Israel, who's been through days of war. David knew what days of trouble and fear and peril and calamity. David experienced all that. The sons of Korah experienced days of storms and calamity and peril and fear. And if you're ever experiencing a storm, you want God to be your refuge. Just like Psalm 46 says, And you learn, you experience, as you go through a storm and you're a born-again Christian, you understand the only one who can really help you is not family, not friends, not your own self, not your skills, your talents, and your ability, not even money could help you. As all of that's wonderful and great, but they're very limited, there's only one who really is our refuge, who really is our strength. And that's God Almighty, the Lord of hosts, the God of Jacob, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Psalm 46, to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. And he opens up with two things about God. He says, God is our refuge and strength. Two things about the Lord. Well, let's look at the outline. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Love Psalm 46. I could spend more than 1 hour on this, but I won't. But Psalm 46 is divided in three sections. So, tatlong bahagi ang Psalm 46. At tinatapos ng Psalm 46 yung mga bahagi niya sa pamamagitan ng paggamit ng wikang sila. Sila. You will notice that the word sila ends each section. So from verses 1 to 3, he ends with sila. Verses 4 to 7, sila. And verses 8 to 11, sila. And so sila is another term. We should write that. We should add that to the terms. So here, sila. Ano ba yan? Sila. Really messed it up now. Sila. Sila means pause. Ponder. Think about it. Pause. Stop. Stop singing. And think about what you just read and meditate on that truth. Usually the choir would stop singing, but the instrumentalists would continue to play, and then they'll go into the next verse or the next section. Sila, pause, ponder, think about these truths. And so we find three sections that end in sila, and then two refrains. The two refrains are verse number 7 and verse number 11. They're identical. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Sila. And so you have that repeated in verse 7 and 11. But wonderful, wonderful psalm. And the first section, verses 1 to 3, talk about God's protection. The second section is God's presence. And the third section is God's preeminence, how he is over the warring world. I mean, the world's falling apart, but not Jehovah God. And so we find this wonderful, simple outline of Psalm 46. And here, let's open it up and get into it. God is our refuge and strength. Two things about the Lord. Two things about God. He is a refuge. There are times, and we thank God for it, there are times when God protects us from the storm. He doesn't allow us to go through the storm. He shields us from danger. And we thank God for those times. Because God is wise. He knows what we can handle. And there are times when he's a simple refuge. But there's another thing. He is also our strength. Now, here's the thing. If God allows you to go through a storm, he promises to be your help, your strength. If God has to expose you to storms, to perils, to trouble, he will be there to walk with you and to strengthen you, to enable you. God is a refuge and strength. What a wonderful words of life here. A very present help in trouble. God's always available. He's readily available. Do you understand that when you pray and you talk to God, that God Almighty, who runs the entire firmaments. He runs heavens and earth. He's running everything. By him, all things consist. When you stop and pray, God stops and listens to you when you pray. Imagine that. A very present help in trouble. God's presence, get this, is our greatest need. We need the presence of God. And we can handle a lot of things. We can handle all of life's things when we have the presence of God, when he is very present to be with us. And verse number 2 and 3 begins the disturbance on earth. Look here, verse number 2. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed. Does the earth move? Not in the scriptures, okay? Not in the scriptures. But though the earth be removed, I mean, there are times when the terra firma is not firma. Earthquakes happen and shakings happen, tremblings happen. Though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. I mean, mountains don't normally move. They don't move at all. But the poetry describes crisis, calamity, peril, fear. The poetry puts in words the experience of life-crushing events. What do we have during those seasons of time? Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, God is our refuge and strength and very present help. So God is our refuge, our strength, and our help through the crisis of life. Now, the sons of Korah. I mentioned that to you. The sons of Korah experienced the earth being moved. They saw their dad die in judgment because of rebellion and sin against Jehovah God. Let's go over to Numbers chapter 26. Tingnan natin ang Numbers chapter 26. Nakita ng mga anak ni Korah ang kamatayan ng kanilang tatay dahil sa hatol ng Diyos sa kanilang rebellion. Numbers chapter 26. The sons of Korah saw their daddy judged by God because of rebellion, along with 250 men. He was part of that 250 men that God judged because of their rebelliousness. But Numbers chapter 26, verse 9, there's a lot of names here, but the point is that God opened the earth and swallowed all these rebels. I mean, the earth moved. So Numbers 26, verse 9, the sons of Eliab, Nemuel, and Dathan, and Abiram. This is that Dathan and Abiram, which were famous in the congregation, who strove against Moses and against Aaron in the company of Korah, when they strove against the Lord. Why, that's some, you don't want to be famous for that, striving against the Lord. That's not a good famous. Well, that's infamous. What happened? Verse number 10, Numbers 26:10. The earth opened her mouth. Whoa, the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah, with Korah. When that company died, what time the fire devoured 250 men, and they became a sign of God's judgment. So basically, they were rebelling against God or God's authorized leadership. They didn't honor the authority of God. And they thought, God judged them, opened the earth, fire was coming out, and they were consumed by the earth. But notice it says in verse number 11, these precious words, Numbers 26:11, notwithstanding, the children of Korah died not. The children of Korah, the sons of Korah, died not. They were not included in the judgment. You know why? Because they'd rather dwell in the tents, they'd rather be a doorkeeper in the tabernacle than to dwell in the tents of their father, their wicked father. You see, there's separation. There's a fear of the Lord and respect for God. And we honor the higher authority. We always honor the highest authority. And the sons of Korah were spared because they did not follow in the sin of their father. And so you have this psalm written in dedication to the sons of Korah, reminding them that, you know, God spared them from judgment. God protected them. And it is also a lesson for us as Christian believers that we need to honor the Lord and we need to respect the Lord and fear Him and trust in Him. And there will be times when God will protect us and shield us from trouble. There will be times when God will expose us to trouble. And our responsibility is to be faithful to Him, regardless of the situation. Psalm 46, now let's look at the second set here, 4 to 7. 4 to 7 says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. This is Jerusalem. In the immediate context of the psalm, God will defend Jerusalem, no doubt. And there are histories in the Old Testament that God defended and helped to deliver Jerusalem from their enemies. You can look, for example, in 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19. You'll read the story of Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, and how God delivered Jerusalem from the Sennacherib and his army of 185,000 Assyrian soldiers surrounding Jerusalem, ready to destroy them. And God answered King Hezekiah's prayer and delivered them in one night, one evening. The angel of the Lord came, wiped out and killed 185 Assyrian soldiers, and Sennacherib was on retreat and he died over in Syria. So there's also other accounts in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, for example, 2 Chronicles 20, King Jehoshaphat was being threatened by the armies of the Ammonites and the Moabites and all the Philistine enemies, and yet God delivered them. God became their refuge, their strength, their help. And so that this is a historical section here. However, there is no river in Jerusalem. There is no river geographically. Look at Jerusalem. There's no river there, at least not right now. So verse number 4 gives us a clue that this is not talking about earthly Jerusalem. This is talking about heavenly Jerusalem. And in the heavenly Jerusalem, there is a river there. You can find the river in Ezekiel chapter 47, Zechariah chapter 14, and definitely Revelation chapter 22. Well, basahin nyo na lang yung mga passages na yan pag nag-review kayo ng Psalm 46. The river mentioned there is in the holy city, the heavenly Jerusalem. And notice what it says here. The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. This is where God lives. All right, this is the heavenly Jerusalem. God is in the midst of her. You know what makes heaven heaven? God. God is in the midst of her. Wherever God is, that's where heaven is. Wherever God lives, that's heaven. And the greatest need we have is that we want God in our midst. We want God in the midst of our home. We want God in the midst of our church. We want God in the midst of our nation. Oh, good luck with that. I don't believe in luck. And one day God will be in the midst of Jerusalem. He will rule and reign through the millennial kingdom someday. Not right now, but it will happen. But our greatest need is to acknowledge God in our midst. Boy, I am so thankful. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're born again, if you're saved, you know what? God lives in you. Through the person of the Holy Spirit of God, through the Son, Jesus Christ, the Father makes his abode with you. There's fellowship with the Father, Son, and the Spirit. God is in the midst. And she shall not be moved, the Bible says. God shall help her, and right early morning. Sometimes the night is represented as sorrow in the Scriptures. Darkness represents judgment in the Scriptures. But morning is coming. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy shall come in the morning. Right early. Oh, remember the words of Lamentations. God's mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. So yes, you may be going through a storm, but if you're born again and saved, the best is yet to come. Thank God for that. All right, so verse number 6, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. You know, God's voice, he proclaimed the earth. He formed the earth with his voice, with his word. He could melt the earth with his voice, and he certainly will be showing himself powerful. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts. This is a name of Jehovah God. It's one of his names. So, sa pag-aaral natin ng aklat ng Psalms, sinusulat ko yung mga pangalan ng Diyos. At nasa number 40 na tayo. Meron akong 40 names of God so far na nakita ko sa pag-aaral ng salita ng Diyos. So, if you want that PDF of God's names, I only have 40 so far. As we're going through the book of Psalms, I'm making sure I want to notate every name of God in the book of Psalms. So far, we're in Psalm 46. I got 41 names. And I'll give it to you for free. Just ask for it. Email me and I'll send it to you. Put it on the comment section or whatever and I'll PDF. It's free. So, but Lord of hosts, we find that earlier in Psalm. Let me look here. I believe we found it earlier in Psalm 24, verse number 10. It's the first time it was used in the book of Psalms. Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth is his name. Jehovah Sabaoth, Lord of hosts. Referring to how God is in charge of the armies of man, the armies of the insects like the locusts, and the armies of the angels. That's God. He's in charge of all the armies. The Lord of hosts is with us. I mean, if God is for us, who can be against us? And notice it says, the God of Jacob is our refuge. The God of Jacob. You know, Jacob, there were about four patriarchs. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And of the four patriarchs, Jacob is not the straight arrow. He was the schemer. He was the trickster. His name Jacob means supplanter. But yet God did not forsake him. God stood by him and was his refuge and protected him. Why? Because of his covenant relationship with Abraham. Why are we saved? Are we saved because we're so good? We're so talented. We're so smart. We're so rich. Are we saved because of how nice we are and how wonderful we are? No. We are saved because we're in covenant relationship with God who promised us salvation through Jesus Christ. And it's for Jesus' sake that we are saved. The God of Jacob, he's still the God of riffraffs. you and me. And we need to learn the truth of these psalms. We need to learn to trust in God. All right, the last section here, the preeminence of God. God is over everything. Verse number 8, we're told to do a couple things here. Come and behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He hath made in the earth. So yung responsibility natin, dalawa. Come and behold. We're inviting others to come and behold the Lord. We're inviting others through witnessing, telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and behold the works of the Lord. Look at what God did here on earth and what God did on Calvary to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us and to give us a home in heaven. Come and behold. That's an invitation. That's our responsibility as Christians. Come and behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He hath made in the earth. He makes war to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear. Yung sibat. Winawasak niya. In sunder. He burneth the chariot. Yan yung karwahe. In the fire. You know, God is a God of peace. But the way He ends war is not through negotiation. He ends wars by conquering. So when God, when you're saved, when you're born again, it's not that God is coming to your terms and we're gonna make some compromises. No way. You need to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because God will conquer, and that's how He'll make peace. So you either bow your knee to the Lordship of Christ, receive Him as your Savior and acknowledge that you need Him to save you, or He'll conquer you and He'll bring peace, but not the way you think. But this is who God is. This is a God of war. This is a God of peace. This is a God who conquers. And we thank God that He is in control. So in the midst of all this warring world, what does verse 10 say to do? It tells us to do two things. Be still and know that I am God. These are the two things that we should be doing as we go through a storm, as we go through times of fear and peril. Be still. Stop moving around. Stop fussing. Just hold your peace and be still. Let God be God. Acknowledge Him. Surrender to Him. Turn it over to the Lord. Be still. The world around is being removed. The mountains are being shifted. But the believer has the grace to be still. We need to be reminded about who God is. He's the God who enables us to be still. And to know. We need to be reminded. That's why Psalm 46 is powerful. It's a powerful reminder to remember who God is and what He's done. And we need to know that. We need to know Him. We need to be still and know. We as believers have much to learn about trusting God when it seems to be the hardest thing to do. And so this is what makes Psalm 46 so precious. And then he repeats himself in verse 11 for the second time. The Lord of hosts is with us. Hey, we can be still. Hey, we can know who God is because He's with us. The Lord of hosts. The God who conquers. And it says, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Pause, stop, think about these words. And we will be blessed by God if we pause and stop and reflect on these precious truths of Psalm 46. Let's pray and ask God to bless them. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for these words. We thank You for the encouragements of the truth of the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to come under the power and conviction of the truths of Scripture. Help these truths to change us, to mold us. Help these truths to help us depend upon You, to acknowledge You as the Lord of hosts, to acknowledge You as the God of Jacob, to see Your greatness, Lord, and Your glory, Thank you for being our refuge. Thank you for being our strength. Thank you for being our very present help. We honor you, Lord, today because of Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would encourage hearts, strengthen hearts, comfort hearts, challenge hearts in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.